and we're no help whatsoever. Joining us now is our baseball analyst, Steve Phillips, one of my favorite people to talk to, and there's lots to get to. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Steve, let's start with Vladdy Guerrero Jr. last night. There were questions before the All-Star Home Run Derby whether or not he should be invited. He only had 8 home runs, but he gets in. He won't play in the All-Star game tonight. But what did you think of last night?
It was an epic event for Major League Baseball. It was a coming out party for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Here's the thing. Everybody knew about him. Toronto has been celebrating his getting to the major leagues in his debut, and Canada has. Baseball has been acknowledging, well, we know he's a great young prospect. He's gotten off to a little bit of a slower start than some other prospects, but we know he's great. Yesterday, he owned that event. Mm-hmm. That was watched across the country. I'm sure it had great ratings. You had a sellout crowd in Progressive Field in Cleveland. You had everybody watching him, and he owned the event. He took it over. I mean, the youngest participant ever in the Home Run Derby, and his 29 home runs in the first round was such a statement. And then what I loved was when Marley Rivera, ESPN, asked him, he was interviewing him. She did a great job. She asked him about, well, what about the next round? Like, the fatigue factor. He's like, I'm going for 30. Like, I love that. Yeah. Like, there was nothing that was going to stop him yesterday. And he got 29. And then, obviously, they had the sort of triple overtime event with Jock Peterson, which was fantastic. So the format worked. They had a lot of the right guys in there. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. justified his participation, no question about it. Pete Alonso is a great personality, mm-hmm. And character to it. And so the whole event was amazing. It was, obviously he set a record. It will be known as the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Home Run Derby, despite the fact that Pete Alonso won. And just like the Josh Hamilton Home Run Derby at Yankee Stadium back in the day, I was broadcasting that one, and that one was terrific. It was phenomenal. It was the home run power that Josh Hamilton showed, the talent he showed, was breathtaking. Last night exceeded that exponentially in my mind.
Steve, does this change the perception for the players of the Home Run Derby? And, in the past few years, there's been some hesitancy to get involved. Guys haven't played well after it and gone into slumps afterwards. But does an event like that, and they actually had to spice it up with a financial reward for winning it last night. And does this change the perception of it moving forward?
Oh, I think the money's a factor, right? Listen, for me, Pete Alonso and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are rookies, minimum salary guys. And so, they make more in that Home Run Derby event than they're going to make for the entire season. And so this was, that was certainly enticing. I love that Alonso, gave $100,000 of his $1 million earnings to charity. A couple of, the Wounded Warriors and Tunnel the Towers in New York City, the first responders from 9/11 who are still suffering. And so, pretty special stuff. But yeah, I think that the fun that people are having, and with this new wave of young players, it was the youngest cast in the Home Run Derby ever. I think the average age was below 26. So you had a really young group of players in there. But watching this sort of more veteran guys, I think that they're having a lot of fun watching it. I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to see some players get in. And, maybe the big money guys will donate the entire $1 million to charity at some point.
Very, very cool. With a player like Vladdy Guerrero Jr., put your GM hat back on for a minute. And are there exceptions if you're running a team to the control factor and not bringing him up at the start of the season and the way that's worked just to maintain control? It almost forces a business side of the situation and takes the fun away from him a little bit.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing for a franchise. It may not necessarily be the right thing for the individual player, but as a general manager, you don't make decisions for individuals. You make it for what's in the best interest of your organization. And so, fans look at it. And sometimes I don't understand the fan's perspective who gets mad that a player's not there for opening day. Because the easy question is, would you rather have something you really like for 7 seasons, or would you rather have something you really like for 6 seasons?
Yeah.
That answer seems so easy to me. Mm-hmm. Like it's a no-brainer for me. Like I wouldn't even stop in considering, if I have a superstar young prospect, he's coming up in mid-April, I'm controlling the service time because I want to have him for 7 seasons because he's so good. I'm doing this, not because I'm punishing in any way, but because I want to reward our organization, and because we put in the blood, sweat, and tears into developing that player, we should have the ability to reap the maximum amount of reward for his services at the major league level for what we can control. People say, well, just sign up to an extension. Well, players have a choice in that.
Right.
And a player who's represented by Scott Boras, Boras doesn't like to do those early deals. And so, you know, it's not as simple as saying, well, just sign up to an extension. We'll never have to worry about it. Not everybody looks at it that way.
So, Steve, here's the thing. And I think that, you know, it's great that he did it. He's going to come back and play for the Blue Jays. There's going to be some buzz. You are not going to be facing 45-year-old pitching coaches throwing 60-mile-an-hour batting practice fastballs in the major leagues. He has 8 home runs on the year. Does this increase the expectations for the second half for him?
You know, I think the fans' expectations are going to be whatever they're going to be. And you know, here's the way I look at it. There are a lot of guys, as you've mentioned, both of you have mentioned, you know, the swing concerns of players who participate in the Derby. You know, when I was a general manager, I wanted every star to participate. Just the guys on your team, not the guys on my team. But I wanted stars out there. I just wanted your stars.
Right.
Because I was worried about the swing. Now, everybody, you know, seeks launch angle today, it seems, in their swings. So that's why we get so many swings and misses. That's also why we have so many home runs. It's not just the baseball, as Justin Verlander says, but it's also the swing path. Guys want to hit the bottom of the baseball, create backspin, hit the ball in the air, and try to hit it out of the ballpark because they've made a decision that in a single inning, if I'm going to send 3 batters to the plate, my best chance of scoring a run is to have 3 guys each trying to hit a solo home run more than having 3 guys go up and all of them having to get a single to put up a single run on the board. And so that's what's changed in the game. So for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the one thing about him, you know, in this launch angle era, you know, his launch angle, and I broke this down on SportsCenter yesterday, his launch angle, his average launch angle to his swings is 6.3 degrees. Now, what does that mean? Well, the average major league hitter's average launch angle is 12.6 degrees. His launch angle is just half of the average major league hitter. So he swings down on the ball more of a flat plane to the ball. And I actually think that the Home Run Derby participation where he was hunting launch angle, trying to lift the baseball, will help him in the second half of the season, I believe, do more damage. He doesn't have to have a 16-degree launch angle, but even if he adds a little bit and tries to hit the ball in the air a little bit more, as hard as he hits it, if he hits it in the air, he's going to end up with more home runs.
So, Steve, here we are. Major League Baseball is averaging 2.74 home runs a game. On pace in MLB to break the record for home runs by 500. The previous record is 6,100. They're on pace for 6,600. Average strikeouts are at 17.4 a game. It'll be the 12th straight year that baseball breaks the single-season strikeout record. I got to be honest, and we've talked about this before, I'm a guy that grew up loving baseball. I still like baseball. I'm not as entertained. If I'm sitting there waiting for a home run to be hit, and I'm 3 times as likely to see a strikeout as a home run, that's not entertaining for me. How concerned should people be about that?
Well, I we could be concerned about it, and I'd like to see more contact as well. The only way it will change is if the analytics indicate that it will benefit a team to make a change to try to win more games. And right now, that's not where they are. Where they are is, you know, swing, hit the bottom of the baseball, which what that does so that people understand, right? So it creates a little bit of a loop in your swing because you're trying to get a little bit of an uppercut to hit the bottom part of the ball. And it's in the, unless your timing is perfect, or not perfect, but near perfect, you create a hole at the top of your swing, and a guy like Verlander can capitalize on that. He'll throw the high fastball. That's the way pitchers are throwing now. The high velocity up in the zone is the thing that counteracts the launch angle that's out there today because it's a tough pitch for a loop in the swing to catch up to. The guys who throw the ball down in the zone are throwing it into the wheelhouse of hitters right now. And so, we've seen an adjustment by pitchers to get more strikeouts. And until hitters make the adjustment back to something different, this is what we're going to live with. But at some point, I do believe that there will be teams teaching the adjustment to start to level it off a little bit. Let's hit the ball in the gap for a double. That more doubles and more contact is better than more home runs and strikeouts.
So, Steve, I know when you were a general manager, because everyone's done it, you had to call players in and say, hey, you're striking out too much. You can't keep – I mean, remember when a strikeout was a wasted out? So we made the point earlier. Joe DiMaggio struck out 369 times in 14 years in the big leagues. Domingo Santana in Seattle this year has struck out 116 times before the All-Star break. At what point do teams say, look, you can't strike out this much?
Yeah. I think we'll get there at some point. And for every individual player, you know, they don't look at the out exclusively. They look at the entire number of plate appearances. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what teams look at and say is, are you walking? What is your on-base percentage? And your on-base percentage and your slugging percentage is more important to me than what type of outs you make. And as long as that's the way teams are looking at it right now, then the strikeouts aren't going to matter at all. And you're right. I mean, the strikeout numbers are through the roof. Bryce Harper, you know, was over 200 last year. He's going to be in the 180s this year. And he's got $330 million deal over 13 years. And so, you know, the way outs get made bother teams far less than them not getting on base or slugging the baseball.
Right. So we asked this question in the last hour. We were playing over-under, and the over-under on Marcus Stroman's starts remaining with the Blue Jays was 1.5. What say you?
No, I'm taking the under. If it were me, he'd make one start and would not pitch again as a member of the Blue Jays. I just wouldn't take the chance. He's too important to the rebuilding process. They've got so many really good young position players that are exciting. They're really exciting to me. Like I think Biggio and Bichette and Bagwell and Gurriel right now and Jansen. I think Jansen's starting to figure it out a little bit at the plate and getting a little more comfortable. And so, you know, I'm starting to look at a core. But they need the pitching guys. The Pearson kid's got a really good arm, but he's a ways away. If you could turn Stroman and Giles into, you know, major league ready pitchers and start to get a wave of pitchers that are at the same pace and timing and service time as your position players, it makes a difference. Stroman's a big part in that. So he doesn't pitch. He pitches one game, shows that he's healthy, that the left pectoral cramp that he has is gone, and he will not pitch again. I'll create a sense of urgency. I'll tell teams I'm making the deal. Let me know what you're willing to do because I'm going to pull the trigger on it. There's no benefit to him throwing a second or third time before the 31st.
Are you getting full value for him based on this season?
Yeah, I think you are. I think he's really I think he's added to his value. The year of extra control is a big difference for him. You know, you look at Bumgarner, who's a free agent at the end of the year. There's right. A difference in value there. The big question will be, is Trevor Bauer going to be available? Like, I wouldn't trade Trevor Bauer from Cleveland, but they might trade him, and then buy and still try to compete this year. I would wait. I'd try to win with Bauer, trade him in the offseason. You got a year of control left. I'd wait till then. But I look at Stroman as one of the top two or three starting pitchers available at the deadline here, and I think that there's enough teams looking for starters that it could really bring back a nice return.
We asked the question as well, the over-under for Vladimir Guerrero's final total for home runs this season, we set at 21.5.
I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over. I think he's.
You and I are right in line, Steve.
Yeah, I think he is. I think the other part of what happened yesterday, where he electrified all of us,
yeah,
is that he electrified himself. That he now has that swag back. That he owned one of the biggest events in the game, and he comes back with that sort of energy right now. I think he goes off in the second half.
Perfect, Steve. Awesome to talk to you. Always love doing it. Look forward to the All-Star game tonight and the second half of the year. And we'll check back with you as the weeks go along here and the trade talk heats up.
Thanks, guys. A lot of fun. Thank you.
Steve Phillips, our Major League Baseball analyst. He's a very thoughtful guy on the game. And